Kevin, I think I might have had one too many pieces of pumpkin pie.
Are you saying that because it's Thanksgiving tomorrow?
Well, yeah. I mean, at the time we're recording this, tomorrow is Thanksgiving.
Oh, you're pretending that you've already had Thanksgiving. I just blew it, didn't I?
Oh, well, you know, I tried.
Tomorrow for us is Thanksgiving.
Yes, as a recording, it's the day before Thanksgiving, of course. But then we have Thanksgiving and then that Black Friday thing. But I'm more concerned about my turkey sandwich leftovers.
Oh, yeah, there's that.
Most important question. What is your favorite leftover, Kevin Reitzel?
Like mashed potatoes or mac and cheese or something like that. You know, I'm not a big stuffing guy. You know, maybe some turkey and some gravy and stuff like that. But yeah,
definitely got to have the mashed potatoes working. That's for sure. So,
yeah.
Well, speaking of stuffed, we've got a stuffed Thanksgiving edition of Culture Clash to do today. There, Mr.
I see what you did there.
Yes,
I see what you did there.
So, without further ado, let's get this cooking. So let's do this thing.
This is the Culture Clash.
Welcome to Culture Clash 109, in this case, the stuffed edition of Culture Clash. And of course, this is your home for all fandom news, reviews, and whatever crazy stuff we can come up with. And it is the Thanksgiving episode, and we have a lot of things to give thanks for. And most thing we're most thankful for is you, the listener. And with that, I'm going to tell you where you can find not only Culture Clash, but all the great shows on the Fandom Podcast Network. And it all starts at our homepage at fpnet.podbean.com. Of course, you can also use the Podbean app on your mobile devices. Just search for the Fandom Podcast Network. Of course, you can also find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play for your Android device users, and of course, now on Spotify. So you can also visit our Facebook page at Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. You can find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPod Network. And Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Spartan_Phoenix.
And, of course, you can find me, Kyle, on Twitter at AKyleW and on Instagram at AKyleFandom. And, of course, we have our T Public store, which will be part of the Black Friday sales and probably some Cyber Monday sales as well. So go to T Public, search for Fandom Podcast Network. You can find all the great gear of the Fandom Podcast Network, whether it's a Type 40 shirt, some Blood of Kings to get your immortal on for the holidays. You might need it if you have too much eggnog, but you know what? Anything you do and anything you purchase goes right here to support us here at the Fandom Podcast Network so we can keep the lights on. And of course, we love reviews. So go to iTunes, leave us some 5-star reviews. Kevin absolutely loves the 5-star reviews. He's a big fan. So,
yes, I am. That's the only type of reviews we want.
And with that, Kevin, you haven't filled up on too many samples of Thanksgiving dinner yet, have you?
No, because it's tomorrow.
Oh, no, I just didn't know. You know, some people do cook some of the dishes the night before to have them ready.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. No, I tell you what, though, Trader Joe's has these maple-flavored pretzels that are to die for. Oh, my God. They are so good.
Yeah, it's all about the maple. It's all about the maple.
But before we get into news and stuff, I had a couple things I wanted to bring up with
okay,
you.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
I took some notes after something that kind of came up on my Facebook feed and something you were also having. Yeah, you know, our good friend Adam O'Brien is the host of one of the shows on our network called Lethal Mullet.
Yes.
Talking about all 1980s action films, and you guested on there for Invasion.
Delta Force.
Delta Force, right? And I wanted to have dibs on Invasion USA, and then you wanted that too, and then you wanted Octagon. So we're gonna have to fight for some of that stuff. But You brought something up that I want to. I have a little bit of bone to pick with you guys.
What did we do?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, I have a question for you. Did you like Rambo 4?
I was kind of mixed on it.
Yeah, you did. You liked Rambo 4. You've told me you've liked Rambo 4.
I liked it because I like looking at Julie Benz.
You liked Rambo 4.
It was better than Rambo 3. Well, I'll definitely say that.
Okay. You guys were getting all over Rambo 5 just because he was dressed as a cowboy.
I just, you know, Rancher Rambo doesn't excite me.
You know, that's what he does when he's in the States. He hasn't been in the States in a long time. And you guys are passing judgment on Rambo 5, man, just because of him wearing a little cowboy stuff.
I guess we just want to see Rambo with the red headband on.
Okay. I thought you guys were cutting it a little short there, man. Getting a little too judgy-judgy, you know?
Well, we didn't mean to make it.
That's what people said about Rambo 4. That movie kicked ass.
Yeah, you know. I do worry about, you know, Sly and his advanced age trying to handle some of those explosive arrows and stuff like that.
He's just giving us what we want, you know. He's just making movies what we want to see.
I know, and there's always a demand for it. I just, you know.
Dude did the Expendables, man. Come on. Come on.
Yeah, I know, but he had an all-star cast around him, too, of action stars. No, I mean, I need to see more. I'm going to be honest with you. I do need to see more of Little Rambo 5. And come on, seeing Sly. I haven't seen a Sly in a cowboy hat since Rhinestone.
Okay.
It's a little off-putting. It's a little bit.
So just give it a chance. Give him a chance. He's
It's a Rambo movie. He's one of
our action heroes, our elder action heroes. Let him give it a chance before you get all down on him.
I'm not getting down. I just need to see more.
You guys were getting down on him. You guys were totally panning it before seeing anything.
Okay, wait. In my defense, I'm not as bad as Adam, who has already put many memes out about it.
Yeah, but I'm podcasting with you now, so I'm going to jump down your throat.
just as long as Adam gets his turn when you guys do Invasion USA.
Yeah, okay. I'll bring that up. Maybe we can do that together with him. That'd be kind of fun, actually. The other thing I want to ask you about is, and I don't know if you looked this up, but a friend of mine had posted on Facebook when they saw the new trailer for Alita Battle Angel, which is coming out February 14th of 2019.
Can't wait.
He said, I'm glad that Richard Rodriguez listens to his fans. The eyes look smaller.
Yeah, I know. I did notice.
So,
that.
Did they delay this film because they got some feedback saying why are her eyes so big? And I had to question it too. Why are her eyes so big? I don't know if this became a thing, but if she's this, you know, robot killer type person, why would they give her anime eyes when she's not an anime character in an anime movie, even though it might be based off one? But why were her eyes so big in the first place? And did they adjust her eyes or whatever to, and was that a reason why this movie's been delayed?
I think it's a contributing factor. They were trying to go with the anime look for the film, I think, with her eyes. I mean, and if you've seen the anime or read the manga, she does have the big Japanese eyes. But I think most people were kind of thrown aback that they were a little too big. So I think, yeah, that was one of the things that they did. I also know for a fact that this movie was delayed because it was scheduled to come out December 21st. And we're going to talk a little bit later about...
No. Originally, it was supposed to come out in the summertime.
Oh, yeah. Originally in the summertime. And I think that might have been when they made some adjustments to the eyes and maybe a few things there. But it also got delayed because it was supposed to come out December 21st. And, yeah, that's probably not a real good idea.
No, yeah, we'll talk about that.
And now it's I call the Deadpool date, which is February 14th. Because there's really nothing like it to run against it. I am very excited for Battle Angel. I was excited when they first announced it. The movie has the feel of the manga and the anime. It's a great cast. It has just a great look to it. I am hoping that I mean it's some great people attached with Robert Rodriguez and James Cameron. You got Jennifer Connelly, Mahershala Ali in this. I mean, I am excited for this film. I think this is going to be a great cyberpunk type film.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I was kind of curious about that. So that was just a couple things that I wanted to bring up. So yeah, there you go.
Well, with that, Kevin, are you up for it? Are you ready?
Let's news.
Let's news.
Well, we have a few things to talk about in Let's News, and the first thing is MGM has decided to put a bunch of stuff for free on YouTube. Have you caught this, Kevin?
No, I have not.
MGM is putting some of their classic films on YouTube, including they're partnering with YouTube to launch 100 films on the video service free to watch. Some of them include the Rocky films, the first five, Legally Blonde, the original Pink Panther films, as well as
Terminator.
The topical with great power, the Stan Lee story, and the critic acclaimed Zero Dreams of Sushi, a selection of Asian films and more. This is a pretty big move for MGM to put out all these movies for free on YouTube.
Why?
Because I think, you know, it's not a subscription service. And you don't, they're part of the free YouTube. It's not even, you don't even have to subscribe for it. So I guess that's why I'm a little shocked by it. I figured it maybe if nothing else would go on YouTube Red or YouTube TV, but just out there.
I'll ask again, why are they doing this?
That's what everybody's kind
of. Are they testing the waters to see if something they eventually want to charge for their own channel or something?
I'm wondering if either that or they're exploring maybe doing a partnership with YouTube to become its own streaming service for MGM. It seems to be the things everywhere is going. I mean, this Disney Plus deal is going to be a game changer. And I think
it's true.
I think when that comes out here later in 2019, it's going to be very interesting what's going to happen to Netflix and how much business Disney Plus will take from people who may be putting their money into Netflix or Hulu instead, move their money and put it there.
All right. So, cool. Keep an eye out for it.
Another thing, and we're talking streaming, one of the most popular DC animated series was the series Young Justice, which came out in the mid-2000s. On Cartoon Network, very popular series that had Aqualad, Robin, Superboy, a few other characters. It ran two seasons and got canceled, but there's always been a big demand to bring it back. And now that DC Universe is out, which is, of course, the DC streaming site where you can get all kinds of original animation, a lot of classic DC TV and movies, $7.99 a month. They're bringing exclusive as part of many of the exclusive things they're planning for DC Universe. Season 3 of Young Justice Outsiders. I know a lot of people who are very happy about this, Kevin.
I'm looking at a picture here. I see the superhero kids here. Who's that kind of rock-looking ant dude?
I am not real sure who that is. That might be a new character for the show.
Katana is the girl on the left, right?
Correct. You've got Katana, you've got Nightwing, you've got Metamorpho. I'm not sure who some of those characters are yet, because it looks like maybe some update.
You're disappointing me, man. Well, who is that guy?
In this case, you're looking at possibly some updated looks for these characters, so I'm not quite sure what we're looking at, but it'll be very interesting to see what's going to happen here in the next few weeks when this premieres, which is going to premiere on January 4th, and I think it's going to be quite popular, and I'm excited for it. So, but you know what, Kevin? There's a lot of other interesting things going on as well with this DC Universe thing. So I'm curious to see where it goes. But here's something interesting: Chris Pratt is a saint.
Yeah, this is interesting. Variety reports that Chris Pratt is in early talks to star in a new film version of The Saint. More people our age will remember, of course, Val Kilmer's turn at it. But I remember when Roger Moore did it. And there was another English gentleman that also did a television run as The Saint. Because of Roger Moore and this other Gentleman and the Saint, which I remember watching briefly when I was a kid. To me, it always kind of feels like it should be kind of in the Bond era of being someone who's English, I guess. Unless they're rewriting it completely and it doesn't, you know, it's not a British government type thing or something. But I could see him being Simon Templar.
Yeah, I could too. I think it's actually would be an interesting balance between if you went with more of a Roger Moore version of the Saint with the way the Val Kilmer portrayed it. You could find maybe a middle ground in there with a Chris Pratt in that role.
Yeah.
So that's quite interesting. But you know what, Kevin? I'm going to put this down for me as maybe the biggest news of the week was we got three trailers, but they're not movie trailers. They're trailers for Galaxy's Edge, the new Star Wars theme park. And they're...
Yeah, I saw one of those anyway.
There was three of them, two short 30-second ones introducing the first two rides that will be at Galaxy's Edge, Millennium Falcon, Smuggler's Run, and Rise of the Resistance. But I think the one everybody is talking about, Kevin, is the third one, which revealed that John Williams is composing original music for the theme park, and they showed the orchestra recording this music while going with a video of some of the building that has been done to Galaxy's Edge, and it looks spectacular, Kevin.
That's really cool.
This park is going to be huge. I think it's going to be in one of the most impossible places to get into for probably at least a year to 2 years after it opens, because it's going to be everybody making the pilgrimage.
Is it weird that I'm kind of more curious about the Star Wars themed hotel than I am the Millennium Falcon ride, when my opinion on that was different, you know, when this was first announced?
I think it's because of your change in feelings for Star Wars, and I think you feel like the hotel might be more of a classic Star Wars thing than... Because I've noticed this, and I'm curious if you have noticed this too. It's so far, it feels like everything with this theme park is related to the current Disney run of Star Wars films. They don't seem to be really...
It is. It says, you know, that the Rise of the Resistance guest will be placed in the middle of an epic battle between the Resistance and the First Order. The video for the Rise of the Resistance was shot in actual attraction. I don't know why that they're excluding or alienating classic trilogy here.
The only thing I can think of with this is possibly... you're going to see Disney recognize a lot more of classic Star Wars once the Fox deal is completely closed after the first of the year.
I don't know. This is leaving a bad taste in my mouth, and plus having to wait in line for so long.
Yeah.
So.
Good luck on trying to get fast passes, too.
I'm not as excited about this as I used to. I don't know.
I think Kevin is still suffering from his Star Wars delusion. Loss of Star Wars love. There's love there.
I'm a little burnout. Maybe that's it.
That could be. Now, something very interesting. Kevin, I'm really excited for Bumblebee. And we've talked about this. I'm very excited for the look of classic Transformers. But I'm also excited because of the young director who's directing it, Travis Knight, who seems to have a true love of the property. And there are rumors floating around now that he might be the lead front runner to take over Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I would be okay with this. I think this would be a very good hire.
Since I haven't seen Bumblebee yet, and I'm not... what else has Travis Knight done?
Travis Knight... just give me just a second. I want to bring up his IMDb.
Because I'm wondering why they haven't, like, you know, the guy from Thor Ragnarok.
He's a little busy right now. He is doing The Mandalorian.
He's only doing one episode.
Yeah, but there are rumors he actually might be acting in it, too. Travis Knight, the other big thing he did that was actually got a very, very, very popular and has a very strong cult following is he was the director for Kubo and the Two Strings, which a lot...
Oh, so he's done all these animated stuff. He's done Paranorman, Coraline, and the Box Trolls.
Yeah, okay. And all those were actually very good films, even as animated films.
Well, it's showing here he's an animator. He only has two directing, and that is Kubo and now completed Bumblebee. So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, I like getting somebody who's kind of on the rise for Guardians.
Yeah, that's true.
That's true. You know, that's, I think that's an exciting thing with that, but we'll see how it plays out. Guardians Volume 3, I don't even know for sure that we'll get it.
Yeah, I you know, just say from the trailers, though, Bumblebee looks like a lot of
fun. Yeah, it looks more like classic Transformers. I do want to throw out one quick tie into this. I don't know if you've seen this on Facebook, Kevin, but there's been a lot of little things popping up, but I haven't really seen it, something that I trust yet, but there are rumors that they're maybe working on a Rocket and Groot series for Disney Plus as one of the Marvel miniseries.
Live action. Interesting. That would be fun.
I think people would love that very much. So, well,
I hope that they have the same actors.
I would think so. So far, I mean, you got Tom Hiddleston coming as Loki, and you've got Susan Olsen coming in as the Scarlet Witch. So that seems to be the case, and I'm sure there's probably something in the Marvel contracts about that. But for now, though, we're going to talk about things we've seen. So once again, it is time to buy it, stream it, or unsee it. And we're kind of kicking off the holiday movies this week, Kevin. And one of the first big holiday movies came out, and that's The Crimes of Grindelwald, the second movie in the Fantastic Beasts series. Were you a fan of the first film?
I was, actually. I am. I love the world building on the Harry Potter world that we know, and getting a different take of the Wizarding World. And what I really liked about the first one was seeing what the United States and its Wizarding World was, and the hierarchy there. It was nice to see something else in the stateside, and getting a little taste of Grindelwald there.
Yeah, I agree with you there. It actually took a couple viewings of that Fantastic Beast for me to really get a good feel for it, but it definitely grew on me. The creatures, I think, were what were so mind-blowing to me, just how amazing they were in that film.
Yeah, Freddie Redmayne is Newt Scamander. It took me a little while to kind of warm up to him. I enjoyed his co-stars a little bit more, and I liked the idea of them bringing in a Muggle or Nomad, as they call them in the States, being exposed to the Wizarding World and not having his mind wiped and stuff. I thought that actually was one of my favorite little subplots. What's his name? The actor.
What was Hutch and Fanboys? Why am I drawing a blank on this?
I am drawing a blank on him. Why am I drawing a blank on him?
He's also now on The Walking Dead, too.
Yes.
Dan Fogler.
Yes, Dan Fogler, yes. And one of my favorite comedies that did not get a lot of attention was Take Me Home Tonight.
Yes. I own that film. That was a good film, especially for us 80s buffs. But let's talk about The Crimes of Grindelwald, Kevin, because, wow, this movie was intense.
Yes, it was. Getting spoilery here, so spoiler alert. I got to say, Johnny Depp right out the bat. It was nice to see him play something other than a pirate and do it quite well, look completely different as well as Grindelwald. And I thought he was great. And I loved how it, you know, jumped from the States and to England and to Paris, and him kind of setting up his court of bad people.
Yeah.
And what I thought was fascinating about this is if you fast forward to the time frame that Harry Potter takes place with Voldemort, when you look at that whole story, it's interesting that it was kind of history repeating itself. Because if you look at what Voldemort was doing, it's kind of like what Grindelwald has been doing, and you know, the whole thing with the pure bloods and all that kind of stuff. So, but seeing this set in the mid to late 20s, and the costumes were fantastic. I love the new creatures that we saw. Just stuff that was happening to certain characters like Queenie.
Yeah, that was one of the better storylines secondary in this film.
Yeah. Just Grindelwald kind of like using his master ways of manipulation to coerce people into doing what he wants. And I wasn't sure at first, but it's nice. It looks like we're going to get a trilogy.
Actually,
this.
Five films, and of course, altogether.
We're getting five films.
Five films for Fantastic Beasts. One of the things, I agree with you very much on Johnny Depp, and I want to say this to all the people who were kind of concerned about Johnny Depp being in this film. It's nice to see Johnny Depp act again. I'm just going to say that. Not be the same character, but even in a different look. But also, big shout out to Jude Law as a young Dumbledore, because he was great in this film when he was in it.
He was good in this, and I love the way he portrayed the character. What I liked was, you know, how hesitant he was about even thinking about going against Grindelwald, and the pushback that he was getting from, you know, the Ministry of Magic and all that kind of stuff, and how he's, you know, asking Newt for help, you know. What I liked what he said about Newt was that, and why Newt was special was because Newt didn't crave power. Newt was good, like from the soul inside and out, and that, you know, this whole movie's about people wanting to crave power, you know, especially the people that were, I forget the guy's name, but the character that was pressuring Dumbledore to help him, and Dumbledore said no, and stuff. So, I mean, it was interesting to kind of see how that came to fruition in this movie. And I really enjoyed it. I'm actually going to be taking my daughter, Camille, to go see it again tomorrow.
And you bring up one last point I wanted to make about this film, Kevin. A lot of you will want to take your kids to go see this film because it's in the world of Harry Potter, the Wizarding World. For you parents that might have younger Harry Potter fans, you might want to go see this first yourselves before you take your child to go see this. This is probably more intense than any of the Harry Potter films, Kevin. Especially that first opening about 20 minutes.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I'm looking back at like a lot of the stuff that happened in, you know, Deathly Hallows and stuff. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, it's kind of intense for PG-13 film.
So you're just throwing that out there. But I think Crimes of Grindelwald, Fantastic Beasts, definitely a buy it.
So, I would agree.
Now, Kevin, you saw something else actually while Aaron was still in town. This new Nick Cage film, if I'm correct, Mandy?
Yes. Yeah, it's been one of those films that's been floating around recently and getting a lot of positive vibes and reviews, especially from horror fans. And, you know, it's Nick Cage. Say what you want about Nick Cage. This man is continuously working. And, I mean, yes, a lot of his stuff is going straight to video. You know, and every then he'll come out with a film and stuff. But this man just keeps working, and he'll do anything, basically. But, you know, I got to give him props for it. But this particular one got a lot of good reviews from a couple of film festivals. And we've been wanting to see it, and it, you know, we saw a trailer for it. It looked pretty intense. And he basically this takes place in the early 80s. I think he's living up in Oregon. He's like a lumberjack, you know, he's cutting wood for a company and stuff like that. And the IMDb description says the enchanted lives of a couple in a secluded forest are brutally shattered by a nightmarish hippie cult and their demon biker henchmen, propelling a man into spiraling, surreal rampage of vengeance. This movie is shot very interestingly. A lot of different images and lighting. It's by director Panos Cosmatos. And he's done stuff like Beyond the Black Rainbow. But what's interesting, though, is that he did work on Tombstone. He did a lot of camera work and stuff. He was, I think he did a little bit of a like second unit directing and stuff like that. So he's been around the movie industry for a while. I know this was kind of up Aaron's alley because she's the horror fan, so I wasn't sure what to expect from it. But it's a revenge flick when his wife is killed by this cult, basically. And the cult leader Jeremiah Sand, I think if I remember his name is right, becomes kind of infatuated with his wife. And she ends up getting killed, and they leave him to die, but he survives, of course. And these biker henchmen are just weird. They kind of remind me of something out of a Pulp Fiction dungeon gone wrong.
Okay, then.
Bill Duke had a small role in it. He was a friend of Nicolas Cage's character. Mandy is played by Andrea Riseborough. It was shot actually in like Romania or something like that, you know? So, but, I gotta tell you, dude, I actually like this film. It was shot weird, but it was cool. The music was creepy. And one thing I gotta give it lots of credit for is Nicolas Cage is basically a lumberjack, right? So he knows how to use axes. And when he decides to go on, you know, when someone decides to go on their revenge mm-hmm. tour, and they like to maybe get a particular weapon, you know? Well, he handcrafts by, you know, by using the whole, you know, melted metal thing and casting or whatever it is. He handcrafts this large bladed axe that is absolutely awesome.
Is this something like Conan might use or something like that?
It's better than that. And the butt of it's got like the spear end of it. If you're listening to this, go on Google and search Mandy axe, or, you know, whatever it is, Nicolas Cage Mandy's axe, because people have started making these things and starting to cosplay him, and this is one of the best non-projectile weapons I have ever seen on a film.
So it sounds like in the case of Mandy, this is going to fall in one of those Nick Cage cult classic type films.
Oh, definitely. Not just Nick Cage, but cult classic, actually. And we streamed it, I think.
Was that on Netflix, I believe?
Maybe it was, or we got it from somewhere else. I can't remember. But find this movie, watch it. Even if you're not a horror fan, it's definitely worth watching. Because when he goes on his revenge tour, and he has to deal with these other weird biker gangs first, and it's definitely not for children. but this cult, that this hippie cult, is freaking creepy, man. And it's got several really weird, scary characters that are part of this thing that are, you just can't take your eyes off them because you're wondering what they're going to say or do next, because, you know, it's led by this creepy cult guy and his mother and his henchmen. And when you start looking at some of these guys, you're like, oh, I've seen that guy. All these great character actors are part of this cult. So, you know, make sure you check it out, because it exceeded my expectations, to be honest with you. I thought he was really good. So, just to give you a clue, the cult leader, more people may know him. His name is Linus Roach. More people remember him as Thomas Wayne from the original Batman Begins. He played the father.
Cool. Very, very cool.
He was also in Nonstop. He was in the Chronicles of Riddick. He was the Purifier. He's been in a bunch of television stuff too, but he was also in Vikings. But he was just phenomenal as this creepy cult leader guy. So anyway, definitely stream it. Definitely worth it. And if you're a horror fan, I think it's worth purchasing.
Cool. So we got something real big next. We're going to give you a little bit of holiday movie guide for you. But first, we got a little promo to tell you about all the great things going on here at the Fandom Podcast Networks. And so take a listen, and Kevin and I will be right back. We're going to go sneak some pumpkin pie.
Thank you for listening. We hope you're enjoying this podcast. We'd like to recommend these other great podcasts on the Fandom Podcast Network. It starts with our flagship show, Culture Clash, our weekly pop culture podcast with the latest news, reviews, and other fun topics in pop culture. Also, Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast where we discuss all things Highlander. Couch Potato Theater, our podcast celebrating the cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. The End Zone, our podcast talking about all things current in the NFL and giving our best mediocre fantasy football advice. Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast. Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery and the Orville podcast. The Hair Metal Podcast, if you're a hard rock music fan. The Hair Metal Podcast rediscovers the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. And Type 40, a Doctor Who podcast, as we discuss all things Doctor Who, past and present. You can find these great shows on the Fandom Podcast Master Feed at fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. On Facebook, you can find us at Fandom Podcast Network. On Instagram, we are at Fandom Podcast Network. And on Twitter, at FanPod Network. You can also email us directly at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Thank you so much for listening and support the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and enjoy your fandom.
Well, hopefully you're enjoying all these great shows that we try to put out for you here on the Fandom Podcast Network. But Kevin, we talked about this when we did our summer movie preview, because this has been a very weird year for movies. And the holiday year this year is just jam-packed.
Let's just say it's underperformed.
Yeah, no, okay? I won't argue with that. This is...
I mean, a couple of my favorite movies were movies I wasn't expecting, like Crazy Rich Asians or A Star Is Born. You know, I mean, these aren't your typical nerd films that we're usually talking about on the show.
Yeah, and two, all the major films feel like they were done before the end of May. We didn't have anything like just blow up the summer this year.
Yeah, yeah, it's because Avengers 3. Came out in April.
And there was nobody left after Thanos snapped his fingers, so.
Exactly.
So let's take a look at the Hollywood holiday movie season. Now, technically, most people usually consider this kicking off in November. A couple of things I just want to highlight real quick that are probably in theaters now. Bohemian Rhapsody, we loved it here. Obviously, we did a whole special on it. The Nutcracker, if you're feeling, it didn't get great reviews, but you know what? If you need something that has that little bit of holiday feel to it, you've got that one. You've got Boy Erased, which is getting a lot of critical acclaim. You've got Nicole Kidman, Joel Edgerton.
Joel Edgerton wrote and directed
Lucas
it too.
Hedges, who's a name definitely on the rise. This is probably going to be something that's an Oscar contention, I would think, Kevin. The Grinch, which is out now and getting all kinds of rave reviews. Benedict Cumberbatch is
really. It is. I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone that's seen it.
Several people who've seen it say it's been a lot of fun.
You haven't seen it.
I haven't seen it, but I've been a little under the weather too. So, but and I guess I'm not quite ready for Christmas movies yet. I need to get past Thanksgiving. That's just me. But but a lot of people saying the kids love it and it's made decent money. Benedict Cumberbatch as the Grinch this go around. Movie you talked about last week, Kevin, The Girl in the Spider's Web, as well as Overlord, which should have been out at Halloween. I think it would probably perform much better. Of course, in just past week, we just had Fantastic Beasts come out, which we just talked about. The movie Instant Family, something for parents and the kids. Movie I'm actually very curious about, Steven McQueen's new film, Widows.
I want to see that too. Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez.
Yeah, that looks quite interesting. But let's talk about what's coming out at the time of recording this. Some of this has already come out or it's coming out tomorrow. The week of Thanksgiving, Creed 2. I know we're both excited about this, Kevin.
I am. I am.
We're also looking at another film that's probably going to be high in the Oscar ratings, which is Green Book with Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali in it. The first real big Disney offering for the holiday season, Wreck-It Ralph 2, Ralph Breaks the Internet. This is going to be fun.
That's the one I'm most excited about this weekend, to be
yeah,
honest with
you. I am as well.
Yes, even more than Creed 2.
I am as well. The new Robin Hood film. I haven't made up my mind about this. This feels like a stream it kind of movie to me.
It feels like a DC type Robin Hood, DC television series type Robin Hood. I don't know.
Moving on though, let's talk about Friday, November 30th, Kevin, because a couple weird holiday movies that might be better fit at Halloween, but you got The Possession.
Yeah, what's up with this?
I'm not quite sure. You got another Possession film, The Possession of Hannah Grace, which is getting a lot of advertising time on TV. One I'm kind of curious about, there must be some early showings of this and it's got a 92% currently on Rotten Tomatoes, is Anna and the Apocalypse. The description of it is the cheeky horror comedy musical centers on a group of friends who band together to survive a zombie onslaught during Christmas.
It actually sounds
kind of
funny.
Like it's kind of a little bit funny, directed by John McPhail, starring Ella Hunt, Malcolm Cummings, Ben Wiggins, Sarah Swire. We'll see on that.
Okay, hold on. I got to talk about this one that's coming up here. Another film that probably should have come out during Halloween. And this this plot sounds very familiar. The Silence, starring Miranda Otto and Stanley Tucci, starring in this horror film about a family terrorized by cave-dwelling monsters who hunt by sound.
Yeah, I think this comes out Friday, December 7th. I believe this is based off of a book. But yes, I know where...
Creatures Who Hunt by Sound. Yes. It's already been done year.
Nobody says...
John Krasinski's film.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's Hollywood. We don't say Hollywood has original ideas much these days, but... The Mary Queen of Scots, Margot Robbie and Saoirse Ronan in this. A little bit of history for you, Kevin.
Yeah, a historical period drama about the political rivalry between Scottish Queen and Queen Elizabeth I of England.
Yeah. Another one, I've seen one trailer for it, and this is definitely Natalie Portman stepping outside of the box here a little bit. Vox Lux. Natalie Portman and Jude Law star in Brady Colbert's drama about a global pop star mounting a comeback and battling personal demons.
I have not seen a trailer for this yet. I'm kind of curious.
I'm not sure on this. Again, kind of a weird movie for the holiday season. And those are all things coming out December 7th. However, Kevin, the fun begins Wednesday, December 12th, because it's all about Once Upon a Deadpool.
We're getting a Deadpool Christmas special?
I wasn't quite that, but we are getting a recut of Deadpool 2 that is a PG-13 rating. I think this is definitely a money grab to get more of the kids in. However, they have somehow worked in some new footage with Fred Savage reprising his role from The Princess Bride.
Yes, that'll be worth it.
And you know what? I'm actually kind of glad they did this, because there's so many fans of Deadpool out there that didn't really get to go see it because they're younger and it was an R-rated film. So I'm kind of glad that they're doing this. But Friday, December 14th, there's a very interesting group of movies coming out, and several I'm very curious about. You have If the Beast Could Talk, based off of a John Baldwin novel. He provides the source material for Barry Jenkins' follow-up to his Oscar-winning Moonlight, a romance between...
It says here If the Beale Street Could Talk. That's what it says.
Beale Street Could Talk. It's about a romance between a woman and an artist set against the backdrop of 1970s Harlem. So it's by the same people who did Moonlight, so that could be quite interesting. But here's one I'm actually very excited for, Kevin, and that is Mortal Engines, the new Peter Jackson film franchise. You got Hugh.
Just to clarify, he's like producing it. He's not directing it.
That's true, but he is very involved. He has been very involved with this, based off of a novel the same name. It's penned by Fran Walsh. The fantasy is set in a post-apocalyptic future on a young man and woman who are banished from a mobile city. Now, the trailers of this have been going out for a while, Kevin.
Yeah, I remember seeing them. What was it? I think we saw a trailer for this.
Avengers came out, I believe.
Before that, Star Wars Last Jedi.
It could very well have been that. So this movie's been getting a lot of hype.
I'm curious about this. I just hope that it's not too CG.
I love the look of the cities. Hugo Weaving's in it. That's always a selling point for me. I am definitely very interested to see what they're going to do with this. But this next film is one I didn't even hear about till about a week ago, Kevin, when I saw the first trailer I've seen for it. And this is Clint Eastwood's new film that he is directing and starring in, The Mule. And the description on this is it's a drama about an octogenarian, struggling to pay bills and unwillingly takes on a job as a drug mule.
What the heck is an octogenarian?
I've got no idea. But Bradley Cooper, Lawrence Fishburne, and Michael Pena all co-star in this.
Yeah, good cast.
So I'm very curious about this. Clint is still Clint. But I think one that I know a lot of people are really looking forward to is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the first Miles Morales Spider-Man-focused film.
Animated, yes, animated film.
Very much animated. Starring, you got Shalmik Moore, Hayley Stanfield, Mahershala Ali, and Jake Johnson all providing voices in this film, as well as Nick Cage. This movie's been getting a lot of advertising for a while, and I think it's really kind of grown on people as each trailer has come out.
Not me. Sorry.
Hasn't grabbed you, huh?
No, sorry. I don't know. Yeah. Nah.
Now, I'm looking forward to this. I think it's going to be fun. I don't necessarily know if I'll get to the theater to see it or not, but I am very curious to see what the reactions are to this when it comes out. But Kevin, I think this is probably the big movie of the holiday season as far as the hype, the buildup, and that is what's coming out Wednesday, December 19th, which is Mary Poppins Returns.
From what I hear, this is not a remake. It is a continuation.
Yes, that is correct. Emily Blunt taking over the famous Julie Andrews role.
Which I like. I like the original Mary Poppins, of course. So I'm kind of curious about that. I am actually kind of excited about this.
Got Emily Blunt playing Mary Poppins, coming back to take care of a new generation of Banks children. You've also got Lin-Manuel Miranda in this, Emily Mortimer. They've shown in the trailers. Dick Van Dyke also has a role in this, and I think that's great.
Yeah, I'm excited about that.
I want to see this. I'm not huge excited, but I'm very curious to see if this lives up to the hype, because it's been extremely hyped by Disney. I think this is kind of the big Disney film of the year. So we're going to see that. But I think most of fandom is incredibly excited for the films coming out December 21st, Kevin. Because I know we're all really excited about Jennifer Lopez's new film, Second Act.
I am. I've been waiting for her to make a comeback to the movies to play someone that we can root for.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, come on. She stars in a workplace comedy about a 40-year-old woman who is mistaken for a high-powered business consultant and uses her opportunity to prove her true worth. Yeah. Done.
And plus, Leah Remini's in it as well. And Vanessa Hutchins.
Yes.
Hey, wait.
Vanessa Hutchins. Yeah, Treat Williams.
And Milo Ventimiglia. So, interesting cast. Yes. No, I think the movie most everybody is excited about is Aquaman, Kevin. Finally, it is coming out. We've gotten a ton of trailers. This movie has been interesting to see. A lot of people got really excited about this movie after they saw Jason Momoa as Aquaman in Justice League.
I also think the new trailers have been doing it justice too, especially the new IMAX trailer that you'll see if you see an IMAX movie. It pretty much shows the whole movie to a certain degree, but it's like one of those films you're going to go see anyway, so it doesn't really matter. But I'm excited about it. I think Jason's going to bring some well-to-do justice to this character.
Whoa.
See what I did there? You like that?
Yeah. I'm extremely excited for this. I think this could end up being probably the second most fun movie outside of Wonder Woman when that comes out. I think Momoa's nailed it as Aquaman, and I think he was one of the better parts of Justice League, so I am really excited about this. It's got a great cast. Besides Jason Momoa, you've got Amber Heard, Nicole Kidman, Willem Dafoe, and the look of the Aquaman villain Black Manta is spot on. So I am very excited about that. Also coming out the 21st, we have Bumblebee, the latest movie in the Transformers film set. And we talked about the director Travis Knight a little earlier. Kevin, I honestly was done with Transformers, but I saw the trailer for this movie that showed the classic 80s looking Transformers like we grew up and loved, and that sold me on this film. I'm looking forward to going seeing this. It's actually the shortest runtime of any Transformers movie ever. You've got Hayley Steinfeld, who's a great young up and coming actress. John Cena is in this, and of course you have Bumblebee and you have Transformers in their classic look. It looks like showing the war on Cybertron in some of the scenes I've seen from this film.
Question. Why is Bumblebee not able to talk still?
That's one of the questions I have actually as well, because the impression.
Why did they go that route?
I have no idea. That was one of those, I think, Michael Bay choices, and I've never quite understood it. It just has always seemed strange to me, but it kind of, I guess, caught on, and they think it's kind of cute, and it lets them have some jokes out of it. But, you know, we'll see what happens. But, again, I think the biggest thing I'm impressed about this is, one, Bumblebee's actually a VW Bug. That's a...
Yeah, no, I'm digging that, too. And we see the other Transformers get into those classic-looking cars and vehicles and such. But are you smelling an upset in the box office take of maybe possible Bumblebee outdoing Aquaman with the kid and family
Be shocked if that happens. But I think where Bumblebee could really benefit from is the people who maybe can't get into Aquaman because showings are sold out. And they choose to go to see Bumblebee instead.
What if it's the other way around?
I just don't see that. I think a lot of people are excited for Aquaman. I think that's the main movie. There is another movie opening, and I just want to bring this up because I've been actually hearing about this film. It's directed by Welcome to Marwen, directed by Robert Zemeckis, starring Steve Carell as a victim of a violent assault who begins constructing an elaborate miniature world in his backyard as part of his recovery. A lot of people are saying this could be an Oscar nomination for Steve Carell.
I saw the trailer for this. It actually looked kind of interesting, you know, with all all of the toys and figures that come to life that represent people as him in his life. That actually looked kind of cool. I like the concept. An original idea. Go figure.
And Robert Zemeckis is involved. Will there be a Zemeckis cube, Kevin?
Yeah, there you go. Zemeckis cube.
Of course, then we have Christmas Day. And Kevin, I think the one that's going to be the most fun is Holmes and Watson, because when you team up Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly, usually good things happen.
Yes, and Ralph Fiennes plays James Moriarty, man. The arch nemesis. I love
that. Yeah, and directed by Ethan Coen. What I love about this, too, is they're not even trying to play it seriously. They're there.
No, you should. Not with these two guys. No.
And I think this is going to be fun. I think this is going to be funny. And I think it's going to be a surprise hit for the holiday season.
So, I think so.
We also have Vice, which is another film that's generating a lot of Oscar buzz for Christian Bale, also starring Amy Adams and Sam Rockwell and Bill Pullman, directed by Adam McKay. It tells the story of former Vice President Dick Cheney. And I got to say this, Christian Bale, I did not know that was Christian Bale when I saw the trailer for this.
Yeah, man, the transformation dude gained a lot of weight to do this role. I wonder if they're going to cover when Cheney shot that dude accidentally with a shotgun, or was it an accident?
Also, Nicole Kidman is really getting around in December. She is in another film besides Aquaman. It's a film we call Destroyer, where it is a dark crime thriller about a troubled LAPD detective dealing with the reemergence of a gang leader from her past. Nicole Kidman's in this. Sebastian Stan is in this. Tatiana Maslany is in this. Just on the cast alone, I'm at least curious about this film, Kevin.
Yeah, me too. I saw a trailer for this. It looks pretty hardcore.
And, of course, we also have On the Basis of Sex, which stars Rogue One lead Felicity Jones, as she plays a young Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg in this period drama focusing on Ginsburg's groundbreaking efforts to overturn gender discrimination as a young lawyer.
I saw a trailer for that. It actually looks kind of entertaining. Yeah.
So that kind of wraps up the holiday season of movies, Kevin. A little something for everyone, I think.
Definitely. It's got a little bit of everything. And but what surprises me is how many movies are crammed into each week to compete for your holiday.
Yeah,
dollar.
Especially that period from about the 19th to Christmas Day. That's a lot of films. Yeah. To ask people to go for it's such a busy time. So,
you know what I'm going to be doing this weekend?
What will you be doing this weekend, Mr. Reitzel?
Well, I'm going to be prepping for my own movie marathon for tomorrow, Thanksgiving, and on Friday. I've been watching the Hobbit movie extended editions, because once a year at least I try to do my extended Lord of the Rings marathon, where I spend all day watching all of the Lord of the Rings films in their extended editions. Do you ever do that anymore?
It's been a while since I've done that. It's probably been a couple of years. The first time I ever did it was actually in the theater the night Return of the King came out. We did the marathon where it was the extended cut of Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, and the Two Towers, and then they debut leading into the debut of Return of the King. And
I remember that.
That was a very long day because that was back before you really had the luxury theaters that we have now with the really big cushy seats and stuff. So it was old style theater seats, and it was up in Tampa. And as you know, Kevin, I'm about a 40-minute drive from Tampa. And the theater we went to was pretty deep into the city of Tampa. Driving home, it was a little uncomfortable sitting on that drive home. Let me just put it that way. That was a long day. But it was a very cool experience. The theater brought in Papa John's for everybody that had the ticket for this theater and stuff like that. So, and it was a thing where you bought, like, for $20, you got one. You buy a popcorn and a large drink, and you got free refills the entire time of the marathon on that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, a lot of places are doing that now.
That was a lot of fun. But yeah, I've done it a few times. It's probably, like I said, it's probably been a couple of years. I got to ask you, though, because when you do the Hobbit films, are you marathoning those? Because to me, those feel like they would be a hard marathon to do compared to the Lord of the Rings films.
No, I don't do those all in the same day. I've been, I did one night and followed it the next night. And tomorrow or Friday, I'll watch Battle of the Five Armies and stuff. So I pace those out. But I was, you know, when I did that the last time too, is I just kind of paced those out because, you know, I like to familiarize myself with the backstory that Bilbo goes through in the history and such before you get into the good trilogy. Yeah. You know, a lot of people don't like the Hobbit one. I do. I mean, it doesn't bother me. I'm not a stickler of what they should or should not have done regarding the books. I don't care about that because I didn't read the book. So, but I think as films,
I agree. I think my only knock on The Hobbit was it really should have been just two films instead of the three. But that's just me. That's just a personal thing with me. But you know what, Kevin? We cannot forget the Raider Nerd poll of the week because this was it. The climactic battle of the action film Johns.
Yeah, I did a three-part Raider Nerd poll here to have a little fun with action hero movie Johns. John Matrix, of course, from Commando. John Rambo, of course. John McClane from Die Hard, of course, John Wick. And I said, which John would you want to provide the entertainment for a five-year-old's birthday party, and what would they do? And the two finalists were John Wick and John McClane, and John McClane won 62% to 38%. A lot of people came up with some funny ideas about what they would do with maybe fire hoses, duct tape, lighters, and some inappropriate jokes. So with that said, too, I decided to start a new Raider Nerd poll this week. I said, of these two Thanksgiving classics, which one is your favorite Thanksgiving movie? And I said, Plane, Trains, or Automobiles, or a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. And our real co-host Alex Autry wanted to remind me that the Charlie Brown Thanksgiving was not a movie. And I knew this putting it up there, but when I searched for Thanksgiving type specials, these two came at the top of the list. And so that's why I included Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. Maybe I should have said, what do you like to watch most during Thanksgiving? But the last time I tried to watch a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, it felt as long as a movie. So right now, currently, though, Charlie Brown Thanksgiving is winning over Planes, Trains, and Automobiles 58% to 42%. So which isn't a blowout, but there's still time for people to vote. Okay. So I'll let you know what happens. But I'm going to be doing a similar poll for Christmas movies, and I got to kind of narrow it down to top two. Because when you do a Facebook poll, it only allows you to do two choices.
Could you do a bracket over the next few weeks over Christmas after this Thanksgiving poll?
I might do that, actually. I might maybe poll like maybe six movies and then kind of play it over a few weeks and see how it
goes. Okay, so I got to ask you, though, real quick, Kevin. Because we all know how you love John Wick. Do you feel that this was an upset that John McClane beat John Wick?
Not really. I voted for John Wick personally because, you know, I'd kind of like to, you know, not just because of the puppies thing, which a lot of people said, but because when he felt like he was getting a normal life with his wife before she passed away and everything, I kind of like to have seen if he did become a father, what would happen and what he would do to four kids. But John McClane, I could see why, because John McClane has kids, and so I could definitely see him taking his son. Yeah.
Well, with that, we're not going to keep you much any longer because we know you got to go get ready for Thanksgiving. But Kevin, do you have anything you want? Any final thoughts before we depart?
I just want to say I hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving, and I'm actually looking forward to this holiday movie season. Because I was really severely underwhelmed of the summer one. So, when we look back and we do our kind of 2018 movie best of or worst of, it's going to look a lot different than from the 2017 year.
I got a quick question for you, Kevin, because as I was looking at the list of holiday movies, I did think ahead to the movies of 2019. And we've got a lot of things coming out. We've got Avengers, we've got Star Wars, we've got a couple other Marvel movies. But you know what? I've kind of realized something. The movie I might be looking the most forward to as it stands right now is Godzilla, King of the Monsters.
Not me. But I could see why you would feel
I'm absolutely excited for Avengers 4.
I'm going to put this out there, by the way. And again, I don't understand all of the fanboy hate. But Avatar has wrapped up his, two and three. Yeah. I'm actually excited about this because I like the original Avatar. I think the Avatar was good. And I'm not going to judge it. I'm going to wait. I'm excited. And I'm kind of interested to see how this world is going
to expand. No, I actually agree with you. I'm interested to see how they're going to expand the world. I'm also very curious because with James Cameron and Avatar films, and James Cameron is saying technology is always boosted up. And
yes.
I'm very curious to see what James Cameron is going to bring technologically with Avatars 2 and 3. And I'm sorry.
You know what I want him. You know what I would love for him actually, in select theaters, James Cameron. Well, I guess it would be. Okay, let me try this again. In select theaters, James Cameron will invite you to a special presentation of Avatar 2 in 4D.
Oh no! Wait. I've got a better one for you. In theaters. This Christmas, return to the world of Pandora in full IMAX smell-o-vision.
Yeah, it's 4D.
Yeah, but smell-o-vision sounds so much better.
So, that's true.
I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy it with your families. Do your traditions. I spend it with my family. Watch a little WKRP.
Stay home. Yes. Don't go shopping.
I agree with Kevin. I echo his sentiments. Make it family time. You have all day Friday to go fight the mob if that's what you choose to do. You really don't need to anymore, but I'm just saying. And just have a great holiday and just enjoy and be thankful for everything you've got from your family and loved ones. And you know what? I'm thankful for all you listeners out there. I'm thankful for my wonderful co-host and great friend and brother, Mr. Reitzel. So,
I'm thankful for you too, bro.
Yeah, I've been down a little bit, so if my voice is a little froggy during this show, I've had a little bit of a viral infection, but I'm on the mend, and we got a lot of fun things still to come here before we hit the holiday break here at the Fandom Podcast Network. So it's going to be fun times. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Enjoy your pumpkin pie, and more importantly, enjoy your fandom.